Sure. Before I get into the sermon, I was just wondering, you know, in terms of the prayer and fast that's starting next week, Sunday, we have been, who of you have ever done renovations at home? You've broken out a bathroom, you know, maybe you've tiled, maybe you did so. Just again, who's that people? Can I ask you, did you enjoy it? We did a few things at home during December and now, and I have come to the conclusion, I hate the process. I sincerely hate the chaos and everything. Jemuel and Caleb and myself, we ripped out the one bathroom, chopped off the tiles and so on. I tell you, I haven't worked so hard physically in a long time, and it's been 3 weeks, and I finished it Friday. I hate the process. I love the final result. You know, and as I was thinking about, because if I have to be honest, I don't enjoy fasting, but I love the result. And I want to encourage you, I don't know if you've ever fasted, because we're going to fast from Sunday afternoon till Wednesday. We're going to break the fast together Wednesday in the small groups, and then Thursday there's going to be a global Zoom prayer that the whole shofar will be online. We did it last year. It was amazing. Really, we'll send out the links and stuff. We want you to join on that Zoom link. But we've set up a few things over those couple of days, and I want to ask you to consecrate yourself before the Lord. Even in Scripture, we see, you know, how many people in the Scripture fasted. You know, even Jesus fasted. And what we need to do, this is a time for us that we as shofar are set aside to seek God's face. Listen, guys, we realize we are not the ones that bring this to pass. We want to just come before the Lord. We want to seek His face. We want to trust Him to move in our generation in this day and age. And we want to see things happen. If this is the year of Jubilee, if this is what God is about to do, if there's fresh new things coming, then we need to consecrate ourselves. So I'm going to really invite you on the one side. On the other side, maybe challenge you to set aside some time. I know we all got busy lives. Now, when I used to still in my plumbing business, I would do a Daniel fast. I did a full fast the one year. It was very hot, and I was working in a roof, and I woke up. And I didn't fall through. No, I fainted because of the heat and stuff. And when I came to, I realized I cannot do a full fast. And that's when I did a Daniel fast. So if you got really hard labor and so on, then consider a Daniel fast. Or fast something. But bring yourself in consecration. And maybe throw your phone away for the couple of days. If that's something that is an issue in your life, just to consecrate yourself. And now I can hear, Pastor, as you know, laugh. Switch off that PC. Write your boss a letter. But bring your life before Him in those couple of days. We're going to have time together. And listen, can you prioritize that? Can you set aside the time that we have set aside for us as the corporate body to come together and pray? So, because this is what this is about. We can do a lot of stuff on our own, but this one is us. And I'm really trusting God that we will pray and fast as one. Come on, let's pray and fast as one. Let's unite in the Spirit in that way. Let's come together and let's... Is that fine? Are we going to do this? All right, so spread the word and invite people. So I want to, this morning, we've had Cheslin preaching about abide. Did you remember that sermon? That we need to abide in the vine. Last week, I preached about ask what you wish. And I vaguely alluded to the Lord's Prayer this morning. And as I was preparing this week, I had the conviction I had to take this a bit further. So we want to take on this, let your will be done. Let your will be done. It's a simple prayer. It's in the Our Father that we pray if we pray that prayer. But let's dive into that. In Matthew 5, but this is not on the slides yet, but in Matthew 5 to 7, if you can go and read Matthew 5 to 7, you will see Jesus teaching on a few things. He starts off with the Beatitudes. Anybody read the Beatitudes lately? Okay, so he starts off and he's preaching a bit about the Beatitudes, but then he also teaches on quite a few other things. Okay, he teaches on being salt and light. He teaches about where adultery and murder starts in the heart, and it's not when the action occurs. And he sort of brings the standard, you know, not from the actual event, but when it starts in the heart, he addresses that. He speaks about marriage. He speaks about when we make oaths and so, stuff like that, about fasting, about loving our enemies, about the eye being the lamp of the body, and so many other things. And if you have time, go read Matthew 5 to 7. It's loaded. There's a lot of stuff that you can meditate on, think on, and pray about even in your own life. And in the middle sort of this whole teaching and a few things that Jesus is addressing there, he teaches his disciples to pray. And I'm like, wow. In the midst of all these things, Jesus takes the time. They obviously say, you know, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus goes, let me teach you how to pray. And I find it quite interesting that even, you know, the last three, including today, the last three sermons, God is actually, I think, sort of honing us in, pointing us and preparing us for the fast that is coming. Where prayer is becoming the focus of what we're going to do. So I believe this morning God just wants to sort of scratch in our hearts, change things, and equip us and train us how to pray effectively in next week and every day for that matter. So how do we pray? I guess the question or the response should be, Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, teach me how to pray. Not from my traditions or religious background or anything, but really, Holy Spirit, can you at this time teach me how to pray? I want to pray the way that you want me to pray. Holy Spirit, please help me to pray according to the Father's will. So Matthew 6 verse 9 to 13, that's where we find the Lord's Prayer, and it says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Who of you have prayed this prayer? Even as a child. No, your parents will teach you this prayer, and you pray it at school, and we so often can sort of just pray this prayer. Pray it through because we've sort of learned how to do it. Almost like tradition, if all else fails, pray the Our Father. But I think Jesus never meant this prayer to be just, you know, said like that, and that's it. It's a model prayer, and in this prayer, it's loaded with what we are actually praying for. And it addresses seven different things, actually, through this prayer, which is things that you can take into your normal prayer. When you pray daily, this is the stuff that you can pray for. And the first one is our paternal need, our need for a Father who loves us. And this is the reality that our Father loves us very much. That He was willing to send His Son to die for us. And we have this need of this Father who really loves us. The second one is for God's presence. Hallowed be your name. So there's a focus on his presence, on who he is as our loving Father, where we look to him, where we see him, where we worship him, where we want to actually remain in the presence, when we stand in awe of this God who we serve. The third one is God's priorities, which is your kingdom come, your will be done. So in other words, when I pray that, then it's not my priorities. It's God's priorities. And I think sometimes in our flesh, we might struggle with this one. Because we've got ideas and plans and things we want to do. But this is about God's priorities. And then God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. God, give us this day our daily bread. I find it interesting, you know, there's not a begging when Jesus teaches us how to pray. There's that expectation of a Father who loves us that will give me my daily bread. And the other thing which I notice, it's not a weekly bread. It's got no MSGs. It's not going to last 3 weeks. He's saying, ask your Father for your daily bread. You know, and I think in our humanness, we sometimes want, you know, the weekly and the monthly bread. We kind of want, Lord, give me everything till the end of this year. And even as we know here, you know, the lamp, the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. There's this journey that we're taking with God. And he says, listen, ask me for your daily bread. Well, I petition God for that which I need today. God's forgiveness. And forgive us our sins. That is a powerful prayer. That's where we live, where we ask God to forgive. But then we also respond and forgive those that sin against us. So we do as our Father does, where we minister that forgiveness. And then the sixth one is power over the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, lead us away from these things. Let us not be caught up by it. Let us not submit to it. You know, Scripture says there's no temptation that's coming your way that you cannot overcome. You can overcome all of them by God's grace and anointing on your life and his hand on your life. So when that temptation comes, yeah, well, here we pray. Lead us not into temptation. Amen? And then that divine partnership where God brings us, for yours is a kingdom, and the power of God, where God allows us to be part of his kingdom. We have the privilege of living and dwelling in the kingdom of God. As children of God, he is inviting us into this place where we can glorify him, where it's about his kingdom and his glory. What I find interesting as I was reading through it this week is the lack of the me. And the my, and the I. I found it actually quite interesting that it's not there. There's rather the our Father, the us, the we, as we forgive those. And I see this picture of our Father who's about us. And so many times when we pray, it's about me. So as we journey through prayer, and I'll be honest, you know, even as I was working through this, you know, I kind of find myself, but I've become so accustomed to pray for me and my, you know, maybe my family, and the us, the we, the greater, the body, you know, that I've sort of drifted away from that. And I'm going, Lord, no, that must change. We pray as a body, as one. And this is where the fast also obviously comes. So I want to encourage us to enlarge our thinking around prayer. To enlarge the way that we engage this loving Father. That not just go through the motions, but to think about what we pray. To think bigger. To trust God for more. We serve a God to whom all things are possible. Why do we only want to pray the small prayers? When we serve a God that can do anything, and even as we see in this prayer, there's some, you know, give us a day our daily bread. That's a great expectation to have, that God will provide everything that I need for this day, because He is my Father. In a sense, I guess we need to sort of recalibrate the way we think about kingdom and everything that we do and the prayers that I pray. Am I praying from that kingdom perspective as opposed to the fleshly perspective? Am I praying from this place of understanding where I'm at now in what I'm seeing in front of myself, or am I drawing from the kingdom of heaven? I'm allowing His kingdom to come in my daily life and then praying from that place. From being born again. From a place where I am a new creation. I'm not just, you know, I'm not just going through the motions here. So I guess, are we ready to pray the Our Father? Are we ready to take this prayer that Jesus has given us and really pray it? But are we also willing to receive what it brings? You see, because we can so easily pray it, but are we willing to receive what it brings? Now, I guess we are okay with my daily bread. If I pray and I say, Lord, give me my daily bread, I'm okay with that one. Sure, bring it on. Forgiveness of my sins? Absolutely. I am fine to pray, forgive me my sins. Not to have any temptations? I'll take that one. I'll pray it. To be delivered from the evil one? Absolutely. Nah? That one for sure. I'm ready to pray those prayers because we definitely don't want to mess with that. But am I willing to pray Our Father instead of just my Father? Am I willing to engage God when I pray this prayer and in my prayers that is Our Father? Not just, you know, in our world it's become so much about our individualism and who I am and my stuff and all this. But this prayer is about us, Our Father. Am I willing to pray that His name alone, His name alone will be hallowed in everything that I do? That I get no glory. That His name is consistently lifted up in everything that I do. My every effort that I do, the way I work, the way I engage people, the way I walk in this earth is from a place of praying, Father, hallowed be Your name through this life that belongs to You. That's a difficult one now. Now it's becoming, you know, the rest is sort of, you know, daily bread and stuff. That's okay. We can receive that. Now this becomes a bit tricky because this now cost me something. Where I have to now lay down a few things and maybe expectations and saying, God, but hallowed be Your name. Your name alone be glorified, be lifted high in everything that I do. So the focus changes away from me to Him. In everything that we do as a congregation, as we pursue God, hallowed be His name. Let His name be lifted up. Am I willing to pray that His kingdom come? In other words, His rule, His reign, His authority, His rules, not my rules. Am I willing to say, Father, let Your kingdom come in my life, right now, every part of my life? Now you're going, Quivers, you know? Let Your kingdom come is an easy thing to pray when you don't think about it. When you just read it and you pray it from a place of tradition. But as I was working and thinking and pondering through this, I realized it's a dangerous prayer for my flesh. Because when my God pitches and His kingdom rule and reign, then everything changes for me. Then I have to submit under Him, His authority. But what I love is that it's not this king with a stick. It's a king who loves us. It's not an autocratic rule, you know. It's not a Russian rule. Okay? God is not enforcing anything, but He leads us and He rules us with love. And when I pray that, I come and I say, Father. And then the next one, that His will be done. We see, who prayed this prayer? Not, well, my will be done, but yours. Who prayed it? Jesus prayed it. Probably in one of the most intense moments of His life, where He's praying and He's sweating blood because of the intensity of what is coming. And in that moment, He prays this and He says, Father, not my will, but your be done. Where He is totally submitted under His Father's rule and reign, under His Father's life, His Father's destiny and plan for His life. He says, Father, I submit to your will. I don't want to do this. My will be to head for the hills. It's not what He prayed, but I'm just thinking if it was me. And He's saying, Father, not my will be done, but yours. So as we walk with God, as we pursue God, as we live this life, am I willing to say, Father, not my will be? Now there's, you know, as a body, we're saying, let's pray. Are you willing to say, Father, not my will be done, but yours? And your flesh is going, No. I need my petrol. I need my food. And you say, no, not my will be done. You know, and as we fast and pray, that consecration, that is beautiful to the Father. As we submit even our flesh in that season before the Lord. So am I willing to pray? Let your will be done. Let the will of the King be done in my life. Now, I don't know how your walk is with the Lord, but I have to sit sometimes and think through that. What does that mean for me? What does that changes in my life when I surrender what I want to do, my plans, my thoughts, and I say, Father, here it is. I bring it. Then the last one is are we willing to forgive those who sin against us or me in the same way as He was willing to forgive us our sins? So many times in ministry I see how people hang on to stuff what people has done. And when I pray that our Father, I am saying, I will forgive them in the same way that you have forgiven me. You know, and God says when He forgives us of our sins, He removes it as far as the east is from the west. And then He does not think about it again. And if I am a son or a daughter of the Father and understand Scripture and I want to pray in this manner, then I'm saying, Father, I will forgive those who sins against me in the same way that you are forgiving my sin. And I will seek reconciliation with them. You see, because God didn't just forgive our sins, He reconciled us with Himself. We are in relationship with Him. We can, despite our wrongest wrong, He brings us into relationship to walk with Him, to live with Him. Man, we get eternal life because of that act. So when I pray that, do I say, Father, I'm willing to forgive those that sin against me? And you're asking, Father, man, I'm going to do this, Lord. I'm going to forgive them. And listen, in my experience, forgiveness is not always easy. Sometimes it's a bit of a process. Sometimes you have to forgive someone for that thing 70 times 7 a day. And you have to constantly engage that forgiveness. But as you are abiding in the vine, as His word abides in you, I believe that becomes easier. that you can let that person go. So if we think about this, and I just want to focus on the two things this morning. The first one is our praying, let your kingdom come. Let your rule and your reign as it is currently in heaven come to earth. Is anybody challenging God's rule in heaven? No. And when we pray, let your kingdom come, we are saying, Father, let your rule and reign come in my life. But like I say, for me, it's so beautiful because it's from a place where my Father loves me. This king actually loves me. I am his son. I am his family. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I can pray this from that place of intimacy, from that place of right standing with the Father. I can actually pray this boldly. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your rule. We recognize him as the king who rules over us. And we are definitely inviting the kingdom priorities in our lives. You see, because the kingdom is on a mission. The kingdom, God wants to accomplish a few things. And as I say, Lord, let your rule and your reign come. I'm saying, Father, let your kingdom priorities come in my life. Let that which is important to you become important to me. And I submit to your rule and your reign in that. And I think this ties in a bit with what was shared here this morning with the scripture, and especially what Cheslin said. Am I willing to embrace what God wants to do? Am I willing to submit and obey to what the King wants to do with this life right now? See, because I can be about a lot of priorities, but am I about kingdom priorities? And then I'm not saying quit your job, become a pastor. That's not what I'm saying. Because that kingdom is expressed every day where we are, in our daily lives. As I am in the vine, as his word is in me, I can just let the Holy Spirit and God's kingdom flow wherever I go. Amen? Jesus says it this way in Luke 4 verse 43. He says, but he said to them, I must preach the bad news of the kingdom of God. Oh, sorry. It is good news. If you are preaching the kingdom of God, it is good news. Jesus was excited about preaching about the kingdom of his Father. Are we happy? Are we bold? Do we love the Father that we are preaching about the kingdom of our Father? Come on. And Jesus was, listen, I need to get other places. I need to move on. I can't just stay here. I need to go preach. You know, part of the job of a pastor is to equip the saints to do the works of ministry. Go. Preach the good news of the kingdom. You are equipped. Okay, not totally, but at least you know where you should go. You see, the good news of the kingdom is this, that we have salvation. You can be set free from your sins. And when that happens, you become in right standing with the Father. When you receive that forgiveness, God puts on us that robes of righteousness. We come in right standing with our Father. We become sons and daughters of the Most High God. That is good news. You receive eternal life. We're going to spend eternity with our Father forever and ever and ever. I don't know how long eternity is. I'll tell you when I get there. That is good news. Where the sting of death has been removed, that I do not have to fear that death anymore, because I'm going to spend eternity with him. Therefore, since that sting is removed, now I can with boldness proclaim the good news of the kingdom of heaven. Like I said, we have been adopted as the sons and daughters of the King. We are heirs with Christ. That is good news. Have you ever had good news? What do you want to do with good news? Nah. He couldn't wait to tell me he bought a house. He was so excited. It's his first house. It's his house. I went to eat at his house. It was awesome. And he keeps telling, I've heard him, he keeps telling people, I bought my first house. We are so glad with you, brother. Come on. Benny is happy he bought a Toyota. Sorry, Benny. Okay. But here's what we do with good news. We tell people, are you excited about the kingdom of our Father? Or has it become religion to you? Is it something that's locked up when we're here or when we're on a Wednesday? Are you excited to tell people? The best advice I've received in terms of sharing the gospel and sharing the kingdom stuff is share it like it is normal. Don't share it like you're doing a smokelare. You know, can I share the kingdom with you? No, get on the rooftop, shout it out, tell people about the kingdom. We are not in a smokelare business. We are about God's kingdom. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. Tell people about it. Get excited. And let your body know. Don't be inwardly excited and your face never shows it. That's a belief. Please be excited on the external as well, so that people can see the joy of you serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is not a dead religion, people. This is not about a ritual. It's about us walking with a king who is alive. And we can get excited about that. Are you excited in the fact that you are a new creation? The old things have passed away. Can you look like that, at least? You see, I'm not of this world anymore. That's what Scripture says. We are not of this world. So why do we want to be like the world? I'm not that anymore. I am in this world. God's called me to minister in this world. Yes, I remember when I got born again, all the church wanted to do is fly away. You know, Lord, rapture us. Get us out of here. This is tough, Lord. We don't want to be here. Everybody was waking. Everything that happened in this world was people saying, you know, it's coming tomorrow. Okay, it wasn't that bad, but it felt like that. And I was scared. Actually, I was going, whoa, I've got a life. I want to do a few things. I want to buy a house. And Jesus cannot come near. I'm still living. And all the old people want to do is like, fly away. But it ain't over until it's over. And until it's over, let's get excited about the kingdom and the fact that we are saved. You see, in order to pray according to God's will, I need to make sure that I'm abiding in the vine. That's something that we need to work at. Get in the vine. Get His word inside of you. Sit with it. Meditate on it. And then, Romans 8, walk by the Spirit. I am so challenged at the moment not to respond from my flesh. I'm so aware that I can so easily do that. And I'm really trusting, my prayer is really, Father, that in my engaging in this world, I want to respond from the Holy Spirit, from the place of intimacy. That's what I want to see in my life. So how do you pray biblical truth? How do you pray? Because, you know, if we pray, our Father, we pray your kingdom come. You know, what I have in my mind is how can I pray more effectively from the vine? from the place of intimacy. And to be able to do that, I want to definitely say you need to know the Word. Bible school, definitely. One of the stops you have to make. So I would pray for the power of God to be displayed more through my life daily. I would pray for the fruit of the Spirit to be upon my life. That fruit, can I say, hangs heavy. You know when a vineyard hangs heavy with the fruit, it's kind of the picture that I have. It is fruitful, man. Yeah. I want to see it produce in my life. Now, I know and understand that I cannot necessarily do that. That's why I need to be in the vine so that God can produce this fruit. The Holy Spirit can produce this fruit through me. I want to pray for a greater measure of the gifts of the Spirit, that He will entrust me and give it to me in the seasons, the places where I need it, that I can minister it. I want to pray for those things. Not that just that it happens on Sundays, but it will happen daily in my life as He wills, obviously. But I want to see it happen. I'm praying for that. I'm asking for that. I'm hungry for it. I'm hungry and thirsty for the King. So in order to pray differently, we need to pray from being in the vine. I cannot pray. Otherwise, I'm going to pray from my flesh. From that place where I think how it should look like and what it should be. But I need to pray from the vine. I need to pray over my stuff. Has anybody got stuff? I need to pray over my stuff from a kingdom perspective. And if I understand Scripture, if I have the Word, then I can pray, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come in my stuff. Man, and I want to see God's kingdom come in my stuff. Maybe the stuff must be removed, because that's also Him sometimes doing stuff. I want to see His will be done. Yeah, while I'm on this earth, right now, not my will, but His will. And when I pray that, I follow, I guess, with a prayer, Lord, help me to continually submit to what You want to do and not to throw my toys out the cot when what You want to do is different than what I'm thinking should happen. And when I'm unsure, I'm going to do what Scripture says and pray in the Spirit so that I do not pray from my flesh. And if you are really unsure what to pray, read the Bible. Read especially maybe Matthew 5 to 7, chapters 5 to 7. That will give you a good idea of what you can pray for and how you can pray. See, when we pray that our Father, we can no longer pray it from our perspective. We need to pray it from our Father's perspective. Allow our Father to do what He wants to do in our lives. You know, when you go read John 17, where Jesus first prays for Himself, and I find it interesting that he prays for Himself from a third person, and then He prays for His disciples, and then he prays for us. And what I see there is that He's not praying for our stuff. He's praying for us from a kingdom perspective. He's praying for us to fulfill the will of the Father in the time that we find ourselves in. And that for me is a great indication and a way for us to pray, even at the prayer and fast, is that we pray according to our Father's will. Will we allow prayer to, if I may say, revolutionize our lives? Are we willing to trust God when we come before Him and we pray from the place of intimacy with Him and His Word, that we will see that fruit come? And then what John 15 says, we can pray what we wish because we are so engraved in Him that my prayers will align with His will for myself. You see, if I do this, then I will start praying beyond myself, not just for myself. My prayers will change. I will probably pray some bold prayers, because we have an awesome God, and I think He's pretty bold. Okay? And like Scripture says, I guess we will pray without ceasing. We will, you know, if you look at Jesus' ministry, so often withdrew to go and pray. And I guess this is what we're saying with a prayer and fast. Let's withdraw together before our Father, and let's seek His face. Let's go pray together. Let's trust God to move. Not just now, but in this year, that He will move in every part of our lives. So are you willing to pray that our Father, from the Father's perspective, to take this, if I may call it a model prayer, and say, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me, Lord, to pray from Your perspective. Let Your kingdom come. Let Your will be done. And then wait upon Him to show you, to teach you. You know, where He supplies your daily bread, where you forgive people in the way that He forgives us, where His name is hallowed and His kingdom is coming, and it's a beautiful thing. Saints, we did not give our lives to Jesus to fall in religious sluiter, ruts. This is not what it's about. We have given our lives to Jesus because through His Son, He paid for it. He paid for our sins. And we recognize Him as Lord and Savior. And all I can do is respond by saying, Father, here is my life. Have Your way in me every day. Amen.